from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
All right, let's go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, bringing super friend to the show. He is Brian Anderson, BA.
What's up, BA?
Not a whole lot, boys. It's good to be back home. We were on a 10-game, 11-day trip that felt like we were gone for a month, and probably because it was to the West Coast. So we were out in Oakland for 4, then played the Dodgers for 3, and then up to Seattle for 3. So it's a long week and a half.
All right, are you coming here? Speaking of being home, will you come to Cleveland on that September 12th through the 15th?
Yeah, I will, which is really nice because, you know, we're home through next Thursday. We have a Thursday day game, and then I think against the Twins. We have a 4-game series against the Twins.
Yeah, we could use some help. So, it's on you. I'm just saying, it's on you. Can you guys please win a couple games for us?
I will do my best. I will do my best. We are pitching very well. One of the best pitching staffs, you know, in Major League Baseball. But we cannot score to save our lives. It's been really difficult for the offense. So we'll see. But anyway, so our next trip is another 10-game, 10-day trip. However, we end in Cleveland for 4, so it won't feel as long for me because I get to go back home.
And do you have an off day? One of those games is on Fox. The first game of the series is on Fox.
Have an off day because the Thursday game is a big Fox game.
Right.
But we do not televise, but my son, it's not even a but, it works out very well, but Jack is having a surgery that day. So at least, you know, the bad that he's having to have the surgery, good that I'll get to be there, you know, and be with him.
All righty. Anything else we need to know about your family before we move forward talking about baseball?
No, I think that's pretty much it.
I feel like this is a very, very special edition of Baskin and Phelps with Dan Menigan, Oprah-like. Is there anything else you'd like to confess on the air? Because we're giving away cars at the end of the show.
No, I know. Everybody gets a car, and no, I'm not going to cry either.
Okay.
Perfect.
We'll chop onions to make that happen off camera. Okay, keep going.
All right, BA, so the big thing that's going on here is the Guards have ran into a little bit of a slump, especially in the second half of the season when it's coming to Stephen Kwan now not being able to hit quite as well as he did before, Josh Naylor, all of those kind of guys coming down. Help us out here, because I haven't been in an MLB locker room. You have many a time in your life. What is it like when you start getting to September and you all of a sudden see this like 7-game lead that you have in the division shrink to like a game and a half, or even get tied at one point? Is that like a wake-up call, or what do you do in those moments, BA?
Well, it goes one of two ways. It's either a wake-up call and you answer the bell. A lot of that depends on what kind of clubhouse you have. You know, what kind of leadership do you have? You know, who are those guys? What's it like down in that locker room? Can you answer when tough times hit or not? Other times, and I was part of a team, an Angel team that blew a huge lead, and you know, ended up not doing, you know, anything and not making the playoffs. Or panic sets in, and it was funny because we were in Seattle when the Royals were doing a job on Cleveland, on the Guardians. And they were on the verge of a 4-game sweep. And it was funny because we had a day game that day, and so did you guys. So I was watching the first couple of innings because that was basically during our breakfast, you know, being 3 hours behind. And I saw that Cleveland had fallen behind 5-2. And I'm like, OMG, the Royals are going to go up a game. And if they go up a game, they may not look back. I mean, this could be, you know, who knows? Who knows? And I was thinking about this conversation. I'm like, we'll certainly be talking about this on Friday. And then all of a sudden, so everybody up in the booth knew that there was an interest in that game. And then all of a sudden, our stage manager was like, oh, by the way, Cleveland just took the lead. I'm like, get out of here. So that is encouraging. Because you were down 5-2, getting to be late in that game. You lose that game. Now all of a sudden, you're in second place. And maybe panic sets in. But the fact that that team was able to come back late and win that ball game and keep Kansas City at bay, I thought that was pretty important.
It was a big win. I need to ask you this because this happened, and I immediately thought of asking you this like right away. Alex Cobb got put on the injured list with a fractured nail. Did you ever have a fractured nail? And
no.
And how? Like, I just, how does that happen?
I don't know. You know what? I shouldn't say that. It depends on what nail it is. Because the only reason I say that is because I think Alex throws a knuckle curve. And with those knuckle curves, you know, you can dig that index finger into the ball and put a lot of, you know, a lot of force on it. Mm. And if that's the nail that cracked, that's completely understandable. Any other nail that cracks, I'm not really sure. I wouldn't know how that would happen. But I could understand if it was his index finger on his throwing hand with that nail being dug into the ball, I can see how that could become an issue. Other than that, not really sure.
Did you ever pitch with anybody that, or covered a guy that had, you know, that kind of a injury?
I mean, I've played with guys that have injured their fingers pitching in a lot of different ways that I don't understand. Like, I never had a blister problem. You know, a lot of guys have blister problems, you know, from just the way the ball comes off their finger, and, you know, maybe their skin is sensitive. Who knows? But I've played with guys that have had some interesting hand issues on their pitching hand that I was fortunate that I didn't have that problem at all. So I don't know how to relate to it. But the cracked nail, the only thing that would you know, make sense to me is if it's that index finger, and that's digging in there, and maybe a lot of pressure being put on there, and over time it gets compromised.
Well, that's a bummer, because I was really excited to ask you about the weirdest thing that you've ever had to put on your hands to prevent anything to take place. Is there any teammate that has done something weird? Because was it Tom Candiotti that we were hearing about was using all sorts of weird stuff to try to keep his fingers from cracking and all of that? Like, it's stuff that they give horses to make their hooves tougher.
I don't think we need to talk about Gaylord Perry at all either. So.
Well, that's a different part of doctoring.
Different substance. That was completely different. No, I mean, outside of like some super glue concoction that guys will use if the skin is compromised. We had one the other day, and I can't remember who it was, but had to put something and adhere on the hand, on the finger, to prevent, because there was a cut there or something, and you had to get it cleared with the umpires. You know, they had to go out and show the umpires, look, this is on my hand, this is why, is this okay? And they cleared him, and, you know, he pitched. So, outside of, like, something involving, like, super glue to keep something closed, I haven't been around to anything too crazy.
I'm not
what guys were using to load up baseballs. Concoctions that you had on the bill of your hat, inside of your pants, you know, whatever it was.
Well, that's
No, what's the weirdest thing you ever saw someone put on a baseball?
Oh,
or knew of. I'm not asking you to say names.
Don't out anybody.
I don't need you to not be able to walk into someone's
cupboards. Honestly, I don't know. I mean, I don't know of anybody specific. I just know, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to take a look at, back in the day, the bills of some guy's caps, and they're black. Well, what is that? Yeah, I mean, that's obviously some sort of concoction, and, you know, it all came out during when everybody was being investigated for the sticky stuff,
right?
You know, right down to spider tack, and it's pretty incredible. And I know that we probably talked about this, but to me, it was worse than steroids, because you had concoctions that pitchers were using that literally allowed them to spin a baseball in a manner that a hitter had no chance, like literally no chance. Hmm. Like they could pick up spin on a four seam fastball and say, okay, I know this guy throws 93. this is a fastball, this is where it's going to be, and it's 2 or 3 inches above that, because he was able to spin it at such a rate that was unnatural without the help of this sticky stuff, was able to spin it at a rate that the human, you know, computer that is a hitter on where a pitch is going to end up, they were missing him by inches. Like, you would see guys swing and miss at fastballs where the bat would be out in front of the plate. Now, that means that he's on time and he is going to meet that ball out in front of the plate. And you'd slow it down and you would be able to fit another baseball in between the actual pitch and the bat. That doesn't happen to big leaguers. That doesn't happen to big leaguers unless that ball has been manipulated with something sticky and it's spinning at a rate that it should never spin at. And that's true of breaking balls too. And so it gave pitchers an advantage like they've never, ever had before. And these hitters didn't stand a chance.
Wow.
So fortunately now they've gotten most of it, I would think, out of the game, you know, with checking guys' hands, you know, in between innings and when the relievers come in, checking them before they get on the mound. I'm sure that there's still some stuff that's floating around, but it's not nearly as prevalent as it was, you know, a few years ago.
The best friend of the show, Brian Anderson, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You can hear him doing color on Rays games, all sorts of good stuff. Former Indians pitcher joining us. BA, if you were running an organization, and an organization in 2024, so I know it's going to be a little bit different than how you actually feel, what do you do with Paul Skeens? Because there's a lot of talk that they want to shut him down because he's pitched the most innings of his career to this point and all that. But at the same point, man, this dude has become one of the best stories in baseball, and people are dying to want to see him play, and the Pirates are actually selling tickets. What do you do?
I'm old school. I let him pitch. I mean, if he's showing, if there's a physical issue behind the scenes or he's wearing down or, hey, my arm feels tired, my arm feels slow, that's a different story. If he's like, I feel great, my body feels great, that there is all the measurables now. They can measure everything. They can tell when a guy is losing his stuff during the course of a game because all this information is being gathered in real time. So all of a sudden, if the spin on your fastball is down 100, 150 RPMs in the sixth inning, they know, hey, time to get him out of there. He is losing his stuff. And I think that that's sometimes why guys do get pulled when you're like, wow, he was so effective, you know, and yet he's coming out of this game. Well, maybe the measurables are saying that the stuff is, he's losing it and he's losing it quickly. So all that to say, they have all this feedback and all these measurables that come in real time. And if everything is measuring up to snuff and this guy says he feels good and it certainly looks like he feels good, then pitch. Then go play baseball, okay? That's what we do. And so that's what I would say. Now, if there's some slippage, if there's something bothering him, hip is a little cranky, something. Okay, yeah, shut him down then. Absolutely. Because he's a prized asset. But if he is 100% healthy and everything else measures out at, yeah, this is what it should look like, then go pitch. Go pitch.
All right, BA, we want to talk about our second favorite thing to talk about with you. It's college football. First of all, there are a ton of Friday night games tonight. I know the Mid-American Conference has played on odd nights before other than on Saturday. Are you a fan of college football on Friday nights? What do we have? Two Big Ten teams going tonight, as a matter of fact. Michigan State hosts Florida Atlantic, and Wisconsin hosts Western Michigan. Are you a fan?
I'm only a fan because it'll give me something to do. Other than that, I think that you get kind of football overload because you're going to have Thursday night football, Friday night football, Saturday, Sunday. You've got your Monday night game. You've got your, like you said, Mac. What do they play, Tuesday or Wednesday? I mean, you have football every night of the week. I guess it's a good thing, you know, for people that love football. I wouldn't want my team to play on a Friday night. I'd rather have them play on a Saturday. But, you know, that's the world that we live in. So you just accept it and say, yeah, I love it. Tonight I'll be watching one of those games, probably both.
2-minute warning, college football, good, bad?
I don't mind it. I mean, I don't mind it at all. I mean, that's fine. You know, the running clock all of the time is always different, you know, but before, you know, how they manipulated that, but
yeah, college football games felt much faster last year. The Ohio State's bowl game might be one of the fastest games and I'm glad it was because it was a horrible game. But that might be one of the fastest games in Ohio State history. from last year.
Yeah, well, and that's the one thing that does get a little cumbersome is compared to an NFL game, how long a college game takes. It is remarkable. And I know that they say that the halftime of a college game is only a few minutes longer than the pro game, but they must start the clock a lot later, because the halftimes of a college game, bowl game, forget the bowls. I'm just talking about a regular college game. The halftime feels forever compared to an NFL halftime. And those games, they take forever. You know, they regularly are going between 3.5 and 4, as opposed to being over by 3.
How do you feel about the fact that the Big Ten has completely gotten rid of conferences and it's just going to be one to, I don't even know how many teams are in the Big 18. Ten anymore. 18, is it? I was going to say 20 to be humorous, but that's closer to reality. How do you like that?
Listen, well, I don't like it. I can't stand what they've done with conferences. I cannot stand it. And they're doing it all for the money grab. Okay, you get that, I guess. If it's there to be had, they're going to go and do it. But you know, when I was growing up, and I don't want to be the old guy yelling at clouds, but conferences were regional, and it was cool because you had your conference that you know, whoever won that region, then they would go to play another, you know, conference winner in a bowl game from that region. You had your national championship. All that's great, but the Big Ten is not a conference anymore. A conference is not from the West Coast, from the Pacific Ocean to the Atlantic Ocean. That's not a conference. That's called a league. Okay, that's when you got Rutgers on one end and you got UCLA and Washington on the other, not a conference. That is a league. Period. End of discussion. Call it what you want, but that's not what it is, and I cannot stand it, to be honest with you. And then you think about the smaller sports.
I think there's someone on your lawn right now. Someone's on your lawn.
Right? Well, too bad. You know, you got what a softball game, conference softball game between Maryland and Washington. How's that going to go?
Who is looking out for these softball players, Brian Anderson? You are.
Well, I'm talking about even the smaller sports. You know, football, you understand why they do it, because they can make a boatload of dough. But what about all these smaller sports? You know, like how do conference games in the Big Ten look in small sports? You know what I mean? In lacrosse, in whatever, baseball, for crying out loud. You know, it's kind of crazy how that, you know.
I wish we would have asked you about this first, because this would have been all 20 minutes. Brian, we love you. Thank you. Hopefully we'll see you next week or the week after. I hope you can stop by.
Yeah, the week after. I will definitely be in town.
Oh, I love it. All right.
Love that.
Bye, BA. We'll talk to you later.
All right, brother. We'll be talking.
Thank you.
All right, boys. Have a good weekend.
Bye.
See you.
Man.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
He was fired up. College football's got a lot of little changes and nuances, things that we're going to talk about here over the next segment. So that was Brian Anderson. If you missed any of that interview, it is available on the Odyssey app. Just go to the Baskin and Phelps podcast. And so you'll be able to go back and listen to that or any of the other things we talked about throughout today's show. Tim May coming up at 1 o'clock. We'll talk college football with him, too. Chris Rose at 1:20. We'll get back into the NFL with him. All right, so let's start there. Two-minute warning. And I'm going to go through some of the different changes in college football as you kind of settle in and get ready for it. Week zero last week, week one.
Yeah, there's a boatload of changes in college football that go past the sea to shining sea conferences and, you know, the fact that we've got the transfer portal and all that kind of stuff. There's a couple little ones, too.
Yeah, let's start with a two-minute warning. Good. I'm all for it. I have no problem with it.
I think it will be no difference to how we watch the college game. The only, it was always kind of funky, you know, because we all got so used to the NFL game for so long, having a two-minute warning. I think it's one of those where maybe the purists are going to, you know, have a problem with it, and then they'll get over it in two games.
I have no problem with it at all. In fact, I look for it, and it's just like, oh, yeah, college. Like, how many years did you do that? You're like, oh, college.
Gosh, all the time.
Yeah, I mean, so you're waiting for the two-minute warning. Oh, you're like, oh, wait a minute. Or you're talking about how many timeouts a team has down the stretch, and you like, how many times have you said an NFL game? Well, they essentially have four.
Yeah, you got three in the two-minute warning.
And then you try to squeeze that play in with 2:01, so right. You get the play, and then you get the timeout immediately following. So you can, it might change the way you're going to call the play, and you probably call for a pass if you know, or you're trying to eat clock. You know, you call for the run there. But so 2 minute warning, I don't think many people are going to have a problem with that at all.
No, I think it's going to be funky for the college purists for a little bit, but we'll all get used to it by week three.
All right, I'll come back to the warning or to the rule changes here in a second. I do think it's interesting. We don't have the leaders and the legends anymore, thank God. That's been gone for a couple years, though.
Oh, what a shame.
We don't have the East and West. What we do now really have, though, is we now have the best two teams playing in the Big Ten championship game.
It's what it should have been.
It always should have been that way.
It always should have been that way. It's so ridiculous that we were in this position that it wasn't the best two teams going back and forth. I kind of, you know, I never loved it. I know you only have X amount of games, but especially with how these conferences become so big now.
Here's a weird deal, though. Doesn't it set up the possibility that you could have Ohio State and Michigan 3 weeks in a row?
I highly doubt that will happen.
I highly doubt that will happen either.
I highly doubt it will happen.
That's a possibility, right? They could play in the last, if they play that last game of the season. Now, this year they will, but you've heard all the coaches talk about it, that the chances of Ohio State and Michigan playing the last game of the season may not always come out that way. And if you're not going to have the legends and leaders or East or West, you could have a conceivable scenario where Ohio State and Michigan become the 1-2 teams in the Big Ten and now have to play in the Big Ten championship. I think the addition of Oregon and the
right.
West Coast schools are really going to put a wrench in anything you might think of the old traditional Big 2, Little 8. I think that's just not going to play out that way.
I mean, Oregon's going to come rolling. I'm interested to see Washington without Caleb DeBoer. I want to see what that looks like. I want to see how that program kind of works around it. I mean, they've had two really good coaches I don't know if they were back-to-back, but they've had two really good coaches in Chris Peterson and then going into Caleb DeBoer. I'm fascinated what that looks like. I think USC takes like a half step back, maybe a full step back, not having Jordan Addison and not having Caleb Williams as well. Like, I got a feeling Lincoln Riley could scheme it up with the best of them, but like, I think we are not going to run into this scenario for two reasons. One of them, which you laid out, being, hey, there's a lot of talent in the Big Ten now that we're sea to shining sea.
Yeah.
But the other part of it is you're always relying on a committee. And so as long as a committee is going to be in the middle of this whole thing, they can manipulate this.
Why would you be relying on a committee? I'm sure that they have tiebreakers that would stop that. Humans wouldn't have to figure out who played that. You were talking about the Big Ten championship game, right?
Well, you were talking Big Ten championship game because you were saying three in a row.
Right.
And the reason it's highly, highly unlikely is because I highly doubt that they will have a first round game in the college football playoff of Ohio State, Michigan.
I agree with that. Because the committee
is putting it together.
Yeah, all right. But it's still always a chance for that. There's a chance now.
It exists.
Yeah.
It's just
but we've never had that chance before. I mean, we've never had the chance to have Ohio State and Michigan play in the Big Ten championship game.
That's very true.
So now that possibility seems to be on the table.
That's very true.
I don't really have a big problem with this 18-team. I know you guys want to call it conference league, whatever. I don't have any problem with it. I'm okay with it. Teams with the best record deserve to be on top. I do think, though, that it's going to – I think strength of schedule should have to count. So
I
think that's a huge part of it.
My thought on it is – I think, and I think you've had a similar thought, which is for football, great. I'm all in. I'm fine. This sounds perfect. for volleyball, for basketball, for baseball, for track, for all of that kind of stuff, where you have so many meets and games and all that kind of stuff in between soccer, another one. I wish they would come up with like a regional conference for those kind of sports. But for football, you can go see the Shining Sea because it's once a week. And it's such a cash cow. It's just for all the little sports. Like, I feel bad for the UCLA softball team that is going to have to fly to Wisconsin to play a game and then have to do,
but it's,
you
not
going to
be,
then
so
go to Northwestern, then go to like that's where it's like, okay, let's,
I can tell you how
they,
so it, you know, when I covered Big Sky, I know, a long time ago, right? But they had a scheme to the way things worked and everything made sense. So that every school had a partner school. So you would take Wisconsin and you would take Minnesota and put them together, right? Because right. The travel seems a little bit more limited when you're doing it that way. So if you're USC, then you come out on Thursday and you play Minnesota on Thursday, and then on Saturday you play. The problem is that you've got to do a number of those trips. And like, okay, we're going to go play Maryland, and then we're going to play Rutgers, and then we're flying back to the other coast. Otherwise, you're talking about these teams, they're going to have to take a week off.
Right, but, and I know remote learning is a magnificent thing, and it's helped along the way, but like, come on now. Come on. It feels a little ridiculous.
No, but it's very real.
Not to mention, Lord knows that University of Wisconsin beach volleyball program. Whoo, top tier.
If you're playing D1 sports, did you go there to play school?
Yes.
I'm saying Cardell was probably right, 100%.
Yes, if you're on the field hockey team, you're probably going to play school.
But if you're there and you're getting the ride to play field hockey, and maybe you're even getting NIL, can we just get over it? Like, they're not there to play school.
Yes.
Like, can people understand that? I know it goes against everything these educational institutions are against. But
I do, man.
You're not there to play school. You're there to play sports. I'm sorry. That's where we are right now. I'm not saying that's right, because I don't think it's right. I don't. But all the money that's involved in this, all the schools have said, oh, we'll take the TV money. Yeah, we're okay with it. Then you better admit that these athletes are there for athletics.
Hey, man, there's a reason why Jordan Childs is going back to UCLA. And it's not just because she loves the college experience. It's because, thanks to name, image, and likeness, it is more profitable. Well, it might not be more profitable, but just as profitable for her to go do gymnastics at UCLA as it would be to go on tour. And she could still go on tour and then go back to UCLA and do gymnastics there.
All right, we've got Tim May coming up at 1 o'clock. I haven't even touched. Well, I'm going to talk about these football tiebreakers to talk about who can get into the Big Ten championship. And wouldn't it be nice if we had one here in Cleveland? Wouldn't it be? Oh, you know how that's got to happen. Not going to go down that road right now. So college football gets into full swing. Ohio State, Akron tomorrow at 3:30. It's the big one that I think most people are keeping their eye on from around here. We're talking about some of the rule changes in college football. We're talking about some of the weird oddities that come into play. Obviously, two-minute warning is now new for college football. We will have the two-minute warning, and let's face it, for all the money they're paying for TV revenue on this, they get more commercials in there. That's why they're doing it. That's okay. I think that we genuinely watch college football and wait for that two-minute warning and go, oh yeah, it's college football. They don't have 2 minutes. Well, now they do. So don't be surprised when you see that over the next 24 hours if you didn't watch week zero or watch last night. Week zero. I love saying that. I don't know why.
Oh, yeah.
It's like sugar-free football.
It's outstanding. It's the appetizer. You know, it's the definition of the, ooh, a chicken wing. Perfect.
All right,
we got one of those Irish rolls because we're watching it in Dublin. Those, what is it, the corned beef Irish egg roll? Ooh, this is good. This is good.
Mm. Big Ten does no longer has East and West. That's
outstanding.
Gone. So now when you look at the tiebreakers, and I just said it brings up the possibility of having Ohio State and Michigan. I think it's kind of arrogant for me to say that, knowing that there are 16 other teams in the Big Ten, but I'll say it anyway. It brings up the possibility, and we'll talk about it with Tim May coming up at 1 o'clock, that you could have Ohio State, Michigan back-to-back weeks. So the tiebreakers to determine would be head-to-head results, and for Ohio State and Michigan to play again, obviously, you would have to get to the second tiebreaker because one team would probably be in. One team's got to be first, one team's got to be second. Record versus all common conference opponents, which becomes interesting when you have 18, and essentially, Ohio State and Michigan could play completely different schedules until the end of the season and not have too many common opponents. I can't see that happening very often. But record against common conference opponents in order of best conference record, average conference winning percentage of Big Ten opponents. So now you're getting into strength of schedule for Big Ten opponents. Then they have a thing called highest ranking by Sports Source Analytics.
Love it.
Following the regular season. I knew you would.
Love for a source of sport.
Beep, 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 beep. Analytics, got to let it decide
love
things.
Love for sport of source.
Then the sixth tiebreaker is the random draw of all tied teams conducted by the Big Ten commissioner and their designee.
So is it just like pick a card, any card?
Yeah.
Are we flipping a coin?
Throw all the names in a hat, right?
Put all the names. Send your best representative. We'll all meet.
So at least they've thought
a big game of rock, paper, scissors.
At least they're not walking into the season knowing that there's possibility for tiebreakers. Obviously, when you have 18 teams, it is really weird to look at the standings and not only see, you know, Washington in there and USC and UCLA and Oregon. Like, that's weird unto its own, but there is no East and West.
Well, the other weird one that's going to be is...
And by the way, the ACC did the same thing, right? ACC brought in California. They brought in who? Didn't Stanford go over there too? Yeah, so Stanford's over there, and so they too are the same thing. There's no East and West there either.
Well, the other thing on top of it that's going to be funky for college fans that I don't think has gotten any kind of publicity is the fact that they're all going to be using headsets now. So there's no more sign-stealing scandals. There's none of that kind of stuff. You won't have the guys on the sidelines holding up pictures of Miley Cyrus or all the different colors or wearing gloves and all that kind of stuff. That's all gone. Quarterbacks are going to have the headphone in their ear so that they can
no
hear
more
the play
pictures
call.
Of Kirk Herbstreit?
No more Those pictures of Kirk Herbstreit. No more pictures of dogs. No more pictures of pop stars or whatever the play call could possibly be. That's all gone. They're with headsets now. And they're allowed to have tablets on the sidelines.
18 tablets you're allowed to have. I wonder what happens if you have 19.
The commissioner comes down and actually takes the tablet out of your hand and goes to the 50-yard line and throws it down and smashes it with his foot.
Oh, well, that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
What if he has a small foot?
Crowd goes nuts. I think he's got to do it twice.
So coach to player communication, it's called, in case you're wondering, it's the FBS. They have exceptions to rule 1-4-11-B.
I love that.
Allowing
rule.
For an in-helmet radio this year that will allow coach-to-player communication. Why can't we have the chainless chains?
Because they're working on that.
The NFL couldn't even have it this year.
Because they're working on that. I guess there were some hiccups in the preseason with some of the people that were using them, so they're still piecing that together. We'll get there. Trust me, my dream of getting rid of the chain gang is coming.
All right, just so you know, under the rule with coach-to-player communication, only one player on the field at a time with a helmet radio, and it must be identified as an unbranded green dot on the back of the helmet. Unbranded. So there's no logos on there, right?
Don't you dare put Office Depot on there.
Bill's Barbecue.
That would be good.
That'd be awesome. I'd love it if it was a barbecue place. The radio will be cut off when the play clock reaches 15 seconds or the snap, whichever comes first. When the play clock resets to 25 or 40 seconds, the communication system will be turned back on. So I've always wondered this. Wouldn't the game be faster if everybody had a helmet with a radio in it?
I don't know. Probably, might be. Everybody on the same page. But I guess they still want that huddle so that, you know, and all of the communication that takes place and then the miscommunications and execution, you know, you want that human error in there, I think. I think that's what they're saying.
Do you? Why can't everybody just have speakers inside their home?
I don't know. I got
help
nothing.
Help me. I don't understand. Nothing. Why is it just the quarterback or the designated player on defense? The green dot helmet on defense.
Again, I think it's because they still want the huddle and they still want the somebody calling out the play and all of that kind of stuff. It feels very much like because this is the way we've always done it, which is the worst reason to do anything in this earth. Is because, well, it's just the way we've always done it. I'm with you. I would like the headphone in there. I think it would be better. I think it'd give us a better product. But I think it's just because that's the way we've always done it.
All right, there are replay rules, and I don't understand what this means, and I guess we'll understand pretty quick. There's a new rule. Conferences are now able to implement a collaborative instant replay process. It's an experimental rule.
What?
It is called the collaborative... I look it up.
Is this like dodgeball where if you want to do a replay, you have to turn to the judges and go, huh? And then if you get two of the three thumbs up, you get to go to replay? What the hell is a collaborative effort? You got Chuck Norris sitting there waiting for his moment in the sun?
I'm trying to figure out.
Roundhouse kicking replays?
All right, do you want me to tell you how the SEC is defining this? I can tell you.
I could say something mean or I could let you go. What do you prefer?
I guess they've used this in basketball already.
Oh, good. There's been no problems in college basketball.
It's the collaborative instant replay.
Okay, explain this to me.
I'm trying to find the explanation. I'm going to be honest with you.
Like, again, do we need, like, two out of three people to go, yeah, that's worth going to replay? Or, you know, two of them going, you know, that's really not as big of a deal as you think. You still have third down to pick up that yard.
The NCAA Football Rules Committee approved a request submitted by the SEC to allow conferences to use a collaborative process for instant replay on an experimental basis.
This is the most
under
NCAA
this experiment.
Thing on this
earth. Under this experiment, personnel operating from the SEC headquarters will assist in the in-stadium replay. All it means is that from the SEC headquarters or the Big Ten headquarters, that they're helping out the officials who are out there.
So
that's,
it sounds
that's
like
the collaborative part of it.
This sounds like more people. This is the most NCAA thing on the face of the earth. Their solution to everything involves committees. And so this feels like that's how we're solving this. It's like, well, you know what we do really well?
So it's just another
committees.
Way. It's just another way for television networks to sell another spot.
Exactly.
So they'll go to replay
Make
and they'll be
money,
like,
committees.
Oh, this play is going to replay. Oh, they're checking with the headquarters at the Tom's Chicken Wing Emporium headquarters for the SEC. And let's see, what do they have to say at the Emporium?
Two things.
I don't know. I'm just like, that's all it means is that they can use the conference office along with on-site officials.
And probably, my assumption would be lunch. My guess would be there would be some kind of covered lunch in this, expensed lunch, I should say. There's some kind of billable hour behind this. If there are two groups that figure that anything in life can be solved with a committee, it's the government and the NCAA. Those are the two people who are like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. Get a committee. We need a committee.
We need a committee. So
we
that
need
we
a committee.
Wait, do we have the committee to beg government to govern NIL? Because that didn't work real well.
Get another committee. We need a subcommittee.
So basically you're centralizing instant replay.
Expense lunches.
Oh, boy.
Billable hours, winning every
replay
time.
And halftime. At the end of the first half, once teams have left the field, the referee has cleared the final play. With both on-field crew and replay official, the referee will declare the half is over, provided there is no coach's challenge. Once the half has been declared ended, there can be no additional replay reviews. That's a replay review. There's dead ball and loose ball replays. There's penalty enforcement following replay.
Oh, good.
And here's one. I can't believe this wasn't a rule before. Horse collar tackles. College football has expanded the horse collar tackle rule.
What you're laying out right here sounds like the best thing that has ever happened to people drinking while watching a sport, because they're never going to have to wait too long to have to for a commercial break to go to the bathroom. That's what you're lying up right here. It's just a lot of different times that people can go, I'll wait till the next commercial. I can run to the gym.
College football has expanded the horse collar tackle rule under the previous version. Now, you will be tested at the end of this show to remember that it's rule 9-1-15. Horse collar tackles inside the tackle box were not considered a penalty.
Wait, so I get a committee to take the test, right?
No, you don't.
I get to call a committee?
No.
Damn.
Starting this season, however, horse collar tackles that occur inside the tackle box are a 15-yard personal foul penalty. The game is so hard already. I mean, how many more penalties do you have to...
Try explaining this to someone from a different country. People complain about not understanding icing and offsides, and now you're explaining this?
This reminds me of a story. There's a guy I coach with who's on a rules committee, national rules committee, right? And he's yelling at one of the referees because he wasn't yelling. The referee got it wrong. And the referee said to him something like, what are you talking about? And he's like, the rule is this. And the guy goes, you don't know anything. You don't know the rule book. Maybe you should get one. He goes, do you have one on you? And
is it like a pocket constitution?
Yeah. So he goes, do you have one on you? And so the guy didn't. And he went back in between the locker room and pulled it out of his bag. And he said, the coach that I know very well, said, why don't you check out page 4. and then asked me if I know the rules, and his picture's on page 4 of the rule book. You wonder why we can't get referees, right?
We're not beating that.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.